Hello, listeners. In this episode, we follow the journey as Amy and Molly try to get to Nick's party in the hit movie Booksmart, directed by Olivia Wilde. A little bit of a trigger warning, we do discuss very, very minor use of drugs. A much bigger content warning, we talk about ourselves a whole lot. So, you know, listen if you want personal information about your podcasters.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about our favorite queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2019 comedy film Booksmart, directed by Olivia Wilde and starring Beanie Feldstein and Caitlin Dever. So this movie, it's kind of like in the vein of Superbad or Pineapple Express. It's like one of those movies that's like about the act of like getting to the party, kind of like the odyssey of like the journey to get to the destination that is a high school or college party. In this case, it's the last party of high school. I have feelings about this movie. It's really weird, but like in a good way, but also like I don't know. It's just like, okay.
What are your feelings, Chloe?
I have a lot of feelings, Val. It's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. Okay, let me start with this. Let me ask you a question. I'm turning this around.
Okay.
What were you like in high school?
What was I like in high school?
Yeah, what were you like in high school? Were you cool?
I don't think we had, like, cool people in high school. I'm also probably the worst person to ask this because I didn't pay attention to anything then, almost as much as I don't pay attention to anything right now. Also, I went to a school with, like, 4,500 people. So we didn't
have,
like...
My high school was pretty big, too. Mine was, like, 2,200.
Yeah, so
I guess yours would be twice the size.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Okay, were there, like... Were there, like, cliques at your high school?
Like, we had people who hung out with specific people, but I don't think there was ever, like, a barrier to hang out with those people.
Okay.
I'm also a little obnoxious when I want to chill with people. I just kind of hang out with them and don't respect boundaries.
Let me reframe this. Were there, like, the cool kids at your school?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't remember, like, the cool kids. I don't remember any sort of people who are, like... Yeah, once again, I'm just the wrong person to ask this. Okay. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm assuming yours did, because...
Oh, yes. Yeah. So my school was very prototypical American high school. We had the cliques. The one thing I will say is that we didn't have a lot of, like... I mean, there's always drama because it's high school. There was a ton of drama, you know, there was all those rumors and whatnot about who did what with whom and who was drunk at what party and blah, 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 blah. But like, there wasn't really like a lot of like hatred. Like, it wasn't like the jocks and the stoners were at war with each other or something like that. That kind of stereotype of like the American high school. Instead, like, There was definitely a group of cool kids, and they crossed a few different boundaries, and I think that's what this movie does well, is that, like, there is, like, that group of cool kids, and some of them are, like, kind of stoners, and some are, like, kind of preppy, and they kind of don't have a specific, like, clique, but they're just the cool kids, and definitely that was something that happened in my school. And that, like, a lot of the gossip and rumor mongering always, like, revolved around that group of kids in particular, for better or worse. But, like, I think that's something that was very realistic. The thing that was, like, bugging me about this movie is just, like, it's one of those movies where they're, like, kids, but for some reason they all act like they're, like, adults in their mid-30s on some level. Like, it's something that bugs me at some point about, like, movies like this And I think it's because it's probably, you know, it's written by adults. It felt a little like they're talking, the way they talk to each other, especially Amy and Molly. I feel like in high school, I would never talk to my friends that way. But I don't know, maybe this is like a generational thing. I totally talk with adults, friends that way now, but just the way they talk about things is just so adult-like. I don't know, from my perspective. And that
there's like a dorkiness to it that you wouldn't expect from high school students.
A dorkiness and a self-awareness. Like, I feel like that's the big part about high school is you're not very self-aware. And like, there's an irony to it that they're like, it's like they're in on the joke of themselves being kind of the nerds, and they don't take it too seriously. And I get it, it's a comedy. So to give a bit more about the plot, it's about Amy and Molly. They are best friends. They're basically the big book smart nerds, and they're going to very fancy colleges. And then Molly, who's class president, she learns actually everyone from their school, even the cool kids, got into really good schools, and they've just been acting like total antisocial nerds because they thought they had to be successful, but it turns out you don't. So they want to have one epic night of like partying on their like final day of high school. And so they decide to go to this party, and they have trouble getting there. They go to a few different parties, and they learn a lot about themselves and about their friends. And Amy is gay and has a crush on a girl named Ryan, who, by the way, she could do a lot better than Ryan. So
I don't know. Ryan's pretty chill. Ryan didn't really do anything to lead her on or anything. She's just hanging out.
That's true. Ryan was just like a cool skater stoner. Like, I don't have anything wrong with Ryan, but like, I just like Amy, and it's like, she could do better.
Well, I don't know. Ryan probably is going to some biochemical engineering school or something.
That's true.
If everything we learned in this movie is true.
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't judge Ryan by her stoner cover. Yeah, so anyways, there's a whole lot of thing about them going to the party, and then they learn stuff about themselves and each other, and there's a very heartwarming ending where they go to graduation and then they go to the airport and say goodbye.
Yeah, so basically it's a movie where everything that can go wrong goes wrong along the way, but in like a very funny and silly way, which I really liked. I actually saw this in movie theaters.
It's the super bad. It's the super bad plot. Or like it's like the Odyssey, but a comedy. It's just like they have a destination in mind, and here's all the travails and troubles they face along the way getting there. Yeah, no, I really like this movie. I thought it was really good. I thought it was pretty funny. I just, you know, was being critical. I don't know why I'm being critical today. I mean, that's what we do, right? Right.
I will say that I definitely would enjoy movies like this more than I did like Superbad and stuff, because it's not as crude. It's a little bit crude, but it's not as crude. It's like a different flavor of it. Maybe it's one of those things that is like Superbad is like boy gross.
Yeah.
And this is like girl gross is the best way I can describe it. Let's stick to gender norms for this metaphor.
I mean, this movie has some gross parts, because there is the part where Amy ends up with
Hope.
What's her Hope. They end up, they're about to hook up in the bathroom, and Amy, long story short, makes a mistake.
Miscalculates.
And then accidentally drinks, like,
that was the most disgusting.
What was it? Like, it was just like it was a cup people were using disgusting. As an ashtray. And then she throws up on Hope while they're nearly hooking up. So it's like really gross.
I guess you can say they did a little bit more than a first hookup.
Yes.
In some
sense. Definitely. Yeah. We need to keep this, I guess, PG-ish, because we don't want to label this podcast explicit, but like, they're they're getting hot and heavy. So I'm trying to like think through the different characters and who I liked and who I didn't like. So one of them, there's Jared, who's the rich kid who wants everyone to like him, and he's trying way too hard, and no one ends up liking him, except at the end he ends up dating Molly, I guess. But, like, I don't know about you, but if there was a rich kid who was handing out iPads and, like...
Yeah, I would hang out with him.
I would totally hang out with him. I mean, free iPad is free iPad, no matter how annoying the person is.
And he didn't seem to be that annoying either. No. Right? He just wanted attention.
Yeah.
And when he eventually got it, he was, like, a pretty cool guy. He wants to build planes. Like, that's a very nerdy thing to want.
I also feel like he was the most kind of high school-ish in some ways. Like, that desperate need for attention and love and just, like, people to think he's cool felt very high school. And, like, I knew people not to the extreme of, like, giving out iPads. Obviously, you're throwing, like, that fancy booze cruise that he does that no one shows up to. But, like... I knew people in high school who were kind of like that, who like were so desperate for attention, they'd do pretty much anything for it. And so to me, he's actually maybe the most like real high school character here.
I don't know. I feel like Annabelle was the most high schoolish to me, which is weird because you were talking about how they sound way too mature, which Annabelle is AAA.
Yeah. Okay. So Annabelle has a reputation for... being
roadside assistance.
Yes, that's what they call her. And you know, it's just basically just, you know, they're shaming her for her sexuality. And then it turns out again at the end, it turns out that actually pretty much everyone is pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that she's like actually has that nickname. Well, she's unapologetic about her sexual practices, but also because she gives people rides home from parties, like she's the designated driver.
Yeah. And I feel like she's the most high school person if I was to choose one from my experience.
Why is that?
Maybe I hung out with like quiet people or something, but I don't know, just that kind of like quiet person who doesn't really... not in, like, an ignorant way or ignoring others, but just, like, a very quiet person. There was always a couple in class that I always appreciated. And, yeah, she doesn't remind me quite of, like, any singular person. But she does remind me of vibes of quite a few people I knew in high school.
Okay.
So I guess this is all mostly subjective.
Yeah, yeah. The other kid, the stoner guy who was going on to work at Google.
Theo.
he was great too, and also reminded me of someone I went to high school with who like basically almost failed out and then like a few years later was like working for some tech startup and had all the money. So like totally get that character. And he was great. He sold it. Just this peak stoner like kid with super long hair and just like chill vibes. I loved Theo. He was a great character.
Yeah. I don't think there's any single like character that I disliked actively.
Yeah, no. I felt like, okay, I know it was only a small role, but I wish Lisa Kudrow had had a little more time as Amy's mom. Or is it Amy's like stepmom? Something like that.
Cause I think she's Amy's mom.
She calls one of them by their first name. I forget if it's the dad or the mom.
Does she? Hmm. Okay.
But regardless, mom or stepmom, doesn't really matter. Her parental figure of some sort. I just really love Lisa Kudrow. And I mean, Will Forte was also her dad. And I really like Will Forte as well. So I kind of wish they had more time. I understand that this is a movie about high school, but I was just like, oh, Lisa Kudrow. I want to see her in more things.
Are you a Friends fan?
Not particularly. I didn't watch too much of it growing up. But okay. Like,
you just like her as
I just
an
like
actor.
Lisa Kudrow. Yeah.
Okay.
She's great. Yeah.
There's a lot of characters, like, now that we're talking about adults, right, the principal was great.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, which is hilarious. He's, like, the principal, but he also is an Uber driver.
Yes, hilarious, and not a statement
it's
on
a very
the
funny joke. That's fictional.
Not, yes, it's not a statement on how awful our education system is in terms of paying teachers.
I mean, there was also Mrs. Fine, which, what an apt name.
Jessica Williams, man. She rules. She isn't even been in that much stuff, but I know her podcast, Two Dope Queens.
Yeah, she's a pretty good comedian. I really like her in the things that I've seen her in.
And she was in she was in the Fantastic Beasts movie.
Did not see that.
I mean, that movie's so bad, but, like, she was not the thing making it bad, so. And she was on The Daily Show, too.
I would be surprised.
She was great on The Daily Show as well. I remember her from The Daily Show. That's what I know her mostly from. Yeah, I mean, the cast is great. I think everyone's having fun. I don't know. I'm trying to think what I have to say about the relationships presented in here. Amy and Molly's relationship is clearly the focus as best friends. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the thing I struggle with is that it's such an adult way of a relationship working. And that's kind of the biggest sticking point for me.
That's fair. That's very fair. Although I will say that, like, so my sister is very, very serious about her grades, right? So yeah. All throughout her high school career, I would overhear her conversation with her classmates, and most of her classmates that she, like, did homework with and worked on projects with together, right? Most of them were very, very grade-oriented.
Yeah.
And not entirely, but a lot of the conversations that that Molly and Amy have here, right, were kind of reminiscent of just overhearing my sister talk to her classmates, especially in her last year of high school when they were all gearing up for college, right? Yeah. And it definitely was not to this level with, like, all the feminism and things that did feel more college, that felt more undergrad. That,
and I totally get, like, mm-hmm. things change because, like, the 12-year-olds I run Dungeons & Dragons for, like, know about, like, consent. And I was just like, when I was 12, you know, the sum total of my sexual education was abstinence only. So, holy heck, no one talked to us about consent. So, like, I know that, like, it's a more modern thing. Like, I feel like, and it's really good that teenage girls are being exposed to, like, conversations about consent and about, like, more adult stuff, and they're able to think about it in that way. It's just, to me, that was just so not my high school experience.
I feel like there's enough shows out there that are, like, super high school that this was a fresh, kind of refreshing take, kind of balanced that out a little.
Yeah.
Because what tends to happen is when they make it too accurate to a high school experience, like that generic high school experience, which I've never experienced because I went to school in New York.
Yeah.
For me, it was always fiction, what I've seen on TV. And the more I hear about other people's experiences, it's like, oh, that actually does happen. Which was a surprise to me. But regardless of that, I think if it was too accurate to a high school experience, we would have had different issues here.
Yeah.
I think there would have been just naturally the writing would have moved towards more nastiness.
That's true.
And I don't think there was space in this movie for that. And I'm really, really grateful that they did not do that, because I think, like, the worst bully is Molly, because she's the one who thinks less of her peers because she's the class president, right? And she's the one who instituted that policy that they can't talk about where they're going, right?
Yeah.
And in her mind, she was like, oh, I don't want to show off, even though everyone is going to know that that's where I'm going. And it turns out it's just nobody told her because she does not engage with people. But everyone else around kind of knew where everyone was going. even though they still listen to her, right? Because she goes to ask Nick where he's going, and Nick is like, I thought we weren't going to talk about this. So they do even respect her authority is the thing, right? No one lets her do her thing and then actually does something else. They do respect what she's doing, and they pay attention, and they follow the rules that they craft, right? Which is really cool of them. But Molly herself is the biggest bully in this movie, because she is the one who thinks... She's the one who overestimates herself and thinks that she's, like, the best person because she didn't party.
Yeah.
And that scene in the beginning when Annabelle tells her, like, no, actually, all of us are going to really, really good schools and you are not allowed to talk to us like that. That was an amazing scene.
It was a great scene. That scene is definitely, like, they're in the bathroom, all gender bathroom, and they're, I don't know, it's a fun scene because it starts with, like, Molly clearly having the, like, moral high ground because they're, let me just set this up correctly rather than trying to, like, half-heartedly explain it. Molly's in the stall and the cool kids come in and they're talking about, like, what it would be like to hook up with Molly, and they're like kind of making fun of her. And so Molly comes out and she has the like moral high ground, and then it gets turned on her because it's revealed that with all her smugness and her bullying, essentially, she's actually, you know, the bully here who has been so caught up in her own, I'm the smartest person at this school, she's not even aware of what's going on with her classmates. Mm-hmm. So it's such a cool scene, the way it like pivots like that.
Even while they were kind of talking about her, right? Even then, it wasn't entirely mean either. Like, they were being crude about it, like boys tend to be, right? And I'm using a lot of gendered terms this episode. Whoa, cool.
Yeah, this is the gender episode. Welcome. We are happy Pride, everyone. We are reinforcing gender roles. It is June the 22nd, and we are not doing anything but gender. Yes.
but yeah, they're kind of like talking about how Molly is super uptight. And even though she's still cute, they would not want to be with her because of her personality and her behavior. It's very interesting because not at any point in this movie was anyone mean to them. But we see the impact that Molly has on a lot of people. That she has, you know, on her classmate to a lesser degree, but also on Amy, who is a follower.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, the crux of the movie is when they have that argument. I think that kind of sums up their relationship perfectly, right? Because they have this code word. They call Malala when they need the other person to just do what they ask, no questions.
I also wanted to look up what that word means.
Malala, like the actress.
Oh, the actor. I thought maybe it had... Okay.
No, it was just
I was
that.
Like, okay, it's just the name of the actor. I thought like there was some other thing to it, but okay.
Nah. So that's how kind of their adventure starts, because Molly calls Malala and to go to the party, right? So that's why Amy goes along with it. Until the point where Nick, who is a person that Molly has a pretty big crush on, and Ryan, who Amy has a crush on, when those two make out in the pool, right?
Yeah.
So Amy is, she's kind of, you could see that she was personally hurt for a moment.
Yes. But then she was very hurt.
She was crushed. But then after
crushed
that,
by her crush.
Oh, boo. But that immediate thought was overshadowed almost right away by her care for her friend, right? The first thing she did was not, like, mope around. She went to make sure that that Molly doesn't see it, that Molly doesn't get hurt by it, because the entire evening was to get there. And then Amy realized because Molly likes Nick. So yeah. Amy's first kind of instinct is to protect Molly. Whereas Molly's first instinct is to get what she wants in a way that she wants to get it. When Amy calls Malala and asks her to leave the party, Molly completely disregards that and she doesn't take it seriously. which it's been established that this is like a ride or die term.
Yeah.
This is a word that is code for something very important. They joked how it was like a once a year thing they could do. And the fact that Molly didn't respect that really sums up her character a lot.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because she's used to being the authority and getting what she wants. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's fascinating. I think the whole thing is about her learning that lesson that like she doesn't have to get what she wants to still be happy.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, she doesn't have a say in every single thing.
Yeah.
There are other people with their own agency who can make their own decisions regarding Molly as well.
Yeah.
Which Amy did at some point. She did not tell her that she's actually taking a gap year.
Yeah.
Because she knew that Molly would be controlling about it.
And Molly is, she's like, we're not going to graduate at the same time, and therefore we can't take a trip post-graduation together, and we can't do this together. And it's just like, it's so obvious how she's planned everything out, and she expects Amy to follow that plan.
Yeah. And like, all of these plans, this isn't her wildest plan, right? This isn't the schedule that's the most in the future obsessive plan. No, she has a plan for her career that she's going to be the youngest Supreme Court justice? What was it?
Yeah, Supreme Court justice.
She has all of these plans that she is very, very certain about. And it's very clearly not the case it's not going to happen for her, most likely, right? Because it's such a small, small chance for that. But
okay, I keep relating this back to like our own experiences. But what did you want to be when you graduated from high school? What was your plan, Val?
Man, every time you're gonna ask me high school questions, it's just gonna be like, I don't know.
Come on, we're gonna talk. If we're talking about a high school movie, you have to have that's some like fair stuff. Like,
I guess one of the like kind of plan, not like a plan, but I would have been okay going for surgery. That was a thing I was interested in for like a little bit. But
you
I've
to
honestly
cut people open. My co-host is a sociopath.
I wanted to be a surgeon for like a week and a half. No, I don't think I've ever had ambitions, like in all honesty. I'm just vibing. What did you want to be?
I really wanted to be a doctor who studied infectious diseases.
Oh, and that's what you're doing.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, though.
But you're getting a doctorate.
Yes.
And you're studying infectious diseases.
I am doing that. So I guess I wasn't too far off, but like the trajectory of how I got there was completely different. And the angle I took, because I didn't go to med school. I didn't get my undergraduate degree in chemistry, which is what I was going to do. I got in geography.
My goodness, you are a rebel.
I mean,
yeah, you definitely took school more seriously than me. I took 5 years to graduate undergrad. I took 2.5 years to choose my major.
What did you major in undergrad? Was it English?
Yeah, I was an art student for a year. So in the second semester of my sophomore year, I chose art.
Wait, you're an art student? Why do I have to make all the designs for this podcast, Val?
For a year.
Okay, but still.
Because you're so good at memes. Very obvious.
But they're not memes. You're so good at graphic design.
It seems to be your passion.
Oh, gosh.
You're doing a great job, Chloe, okay?
Thank you. But so, I know you do a lot. You, like, edit. So, like, I need to pull my own weight. But it's just funny.
Yeah,
Chloe, I had no idea that you
cannot
were an art
make me
student.
Do art. I mean, did it for a year.
Okay.
And then it kind of lacked the luster I thought it would have.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, I wasn't in an art school, right? So, but yeah, I was for a year, I was an art student. And then in my second junior year semester, I switched to writing.
Okay.
So I did 5 years instead of four because I had to finish out the major.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I immediately went to
Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah. Val is Ivy League educated. Don't forget it. just
my degree just like is useless.
Just like Amy and went to Columbia.
So did you.
I mean, I guess. Yes, I also have a degree from Columbia. So anyway, Book smart.
Now that we've been down corner.
Now that we've bragged about our Ivy League degrees, what scenes were your favorite?
Anything Gigi was in. Truly anything she was in. I mean, this is Billy Lord. Her character was not deep, but her character was amazing. The running gag of her just showing up everywhere was beautiful.
She was brilliant. She was just this force of pure chaos. Just this, like, I don't know, just, I'm trying to think of, like, a term for what, she's just, like, this imp, this, like, demon of, like, pure chaotic party energy that just shows up at every location that they go to. And she's such a great character. I mean, yeah, Billy Lord, who is Carrie Fisher's daughter, right?
Yeah.
Doing a great job.
Yeah. And and then Jared kind of tells Molly that even though she is this weird and just like kind of a violent person with a very addictive personality, she's also extremely loyal. And we see that with Gigi's relationship with Amy. She's ready to kill for Amy.
Yep.
Which was so funny. It all happened because she smelled like her vitamins, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how it started.
Which, you know, like there's a scene where they think it's cocaine. They find Gigi's tin and it's full of white powder. And it turns out it's just she's crushed that's up all her vitamins because she likes to put them. She likes to put them in her drink or something.
No, she likes to snort it.
Oh, she does like. Oh, yeah.
She says it's the most effective way.
Yep. Snorting vitamins. That can't be good for you.
It definitely is not.
Yeah.
And then she drugs them with a strawberry.
Oh, the strawberry. Yeah, and they turn into plastic Barbie dolls. And there's this whole scene of them as dolls that is just so random. I really enjoyed this scene. It's just so weird that, like, all of a sudden they're just, like, stop motion dolls. And it's such a, you just don't see it coming. And it's so it's perfect. It's a great scene.
It's a very Adult Swim short kind of
scene. That's the vibe. It's definitely got that vibe to it.
And then we see them as themselves once again walking out of that house, and they're pretending walking like Barbies.
And oh, it's so good.
It's wonderful because now the whole scene is recontextualized as them just like also being there as people. It's very funny.
Yep. That scene was great. That was probably my favorite scene.
You know,
my other favorite scene, the pizza guy. Any scene
in the car. I was about to mention that. The pizza guy. Any scene guy. In the car. But
we got
to
talk about the pizza guy. So they, as part of their goal of getting to this party, they have to find the address. And so they find the pizza delivery guy and ask him for the address. But they pretend.
Don't know the address because every single person they text doesn't text back because everyone is thinking they're texting about homework or something.
Yeah.
So they study for it, quote unquote, and they realize that the party has a really, really large order of pizzas. And, well, it could, like, the pizza place could not have filled out more than one of these huge orders. So let's go figure it out there. And, oh man, do they ever.
Yeah. So they apparently. Rather than just, like, going into the pizza place and asking, they decide to hide in the delivery guy's car and then, like, surprise him, I guess.
And they use their hair as a
Yeah,
as
a they
mask.
Use their, they put their hair down in front of their faces and
tie it up weirdly.
Yeah, it's really funny looking. And then the pizza delivery guy is just like, are you kidding? You're two young girls and you got in a stranger's car. What's wrong with you? And then he's like, do you have a weapon? And they're like, And what, and they like say they don't, and then he pulls
like,
a gun.
If we have a weapon, it's a felony, so no.
Yeah. And then he pulls a gun out of the glove box, and he gives them this whole lecture about like not getting in cars with strangers and about how he could so easily just like abduct them.
Yeah, he can have them over the state line in 40 minutes.
Yeah. And then you learn at the near the end of the movie that he is in fact a wanted serial killer, the Valley Strangler.
Yeah, which is like everything he said was so detailed.
Yeah, because he knows.
And then, I mean, we also have the scene where they're in the car with the principal, and they turn on a...
an adult film.
They turn on an adult film. I was like, how do I phrase this? Yes,
an adult film. As crudely as possible.
And her phone is dying, so they plug her phone in. And then the principal's like, oh, are you listening to music? And then he turns it on in the car sound, like a sound system. Yep. And it's just lewd noises.
Lots of moaning. Sounds.
Sounds. And that was so funny.
And then he's like, oh, is this Cardi B?
Just.
Which, for an adult, fair guess. Not a bad guess.
That's true. I don't think I've ever listened to a Cardi B song.
Oh my god, you're missing out. I feel like I should. Yeah, you totally should. You're missing out. Cardi B rules.
And then, of course, there's the other car scene with Mrs. Fine, which...
Yeah.
Also great. I feel like I've had teachers like her all throughout, like, middle school and high school. Just, like, people who at that time seemed like the most adult adults.
Yeah.
But now looking back, it's like, oh, they were my age.
Yeah. Okay, my high school, I went to like, so my high school, there were some younger teachers. Something like my middle school, though, I just remember seeing some statistic where it was just like, my middle school, the average age of a teacher was like 62 or something. Like, I went to this, it was just like a bunch of old people at my middle school. And then when I got to high school and there were like, teachers who were like in their 20s, mm-hmm. It was such a weird thing to be like, this person's like, especially like senior year, being like, this person's like 5 years older than me, like they just graduated from college.
Yeah.
And it's such a different phenomenon. So yeah, like that was such a weird thing. I don't think I've hung out with a teacher outside of school.
No, I did not, but like just talking to teachers outside of class, right, just chilling with them in school, like for clubs or whatever, or just like during lunch, you realize
they're human beings,
they're very young people.
Yes. And that they like go to parties and stuff, and that like, I don't know, like learning that one of my teachers once was maybe a little hungover was like the weirdest thing to me.
I think the weirdest thing to me was finding out, I think this maybe was like in sixth grade or something, but that teachers had friends. That was just like such a surprising concept.
Yeah.
Like, well, what? How do you have friends? Is it other teachers? No? How? And that was just like a very weird concept.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like learning that some teachers didn't like each other. I feel like especially in elementary school, they put on such a united front. And then in high school, there was like teacher drama because my school, being in the suburbs of Denver, had like a weird, and this was, you know, at a time where Denver was very much like, Colorado's like a very purple state, and now it's like a very blue state, but like, at the time, there were teachers who were, like, very conservative Christians. But then, like, the younger teachers who were moving to Denver after graduating from college or whatnot, it was a lot of, like, young, you know, like, pretty liberal people. And so there was, like, a lot of tension between, like, the younger teachers and some of the older teachers. And, like, kind of seeing that was so interesting.
I feel like I recall that there was teacher drama at my school, But it was so distant, I did not pay attention. Once again, I had a different experience.
Yeah, you like, from basically everyone. Were checked out for all of high school, apparently.
I truly was. I would not be able to recall things.
But, like, what did your day consist of if you were so checked out? Like, what did you do? Like, did you just go to school and just kind of run out? Like, who did you sit with at lunch?
I had, like, a core group of friends that we would always, like, go to the library to chill because the lunchroom was dirty.
Oh, you were one of those. Okay.
We didn't go to, like, study or anything or look at books or just... It was literally just the fact that the lunchroom was dirty and the library was very, very clean and bright and there was, like, huge windows.
Were you allowed to eat in the library?
No.
Okay.
No, I had a really, really bad diet in high school. I would, like, eat breakfast, and then I wouldn't eat for, like, 10 hours, and then I'd, like, eat dinner.
God, I lived off, like, cheap pizza and chicken tenders.
In high school?
Yeah, because, like,
my high school... Did you not eat at home?
No, my high school had an open campus. So I would go... We were right across the street from a grocery store called King Supers, and...
So that would be your lunch?
I would go there. Yeah, they had like a hot food bar. So I'd go there and you could get like 6 chicken tenders for $3. And so that would be my lunch. Or you could go to the Blackjack Pizza and for $1.50, you would get a personal pizza. Or you could get for $1, they would give you a bag full of breadsticks. So I'd eat that a lot. And then on Fridays, we got Chipotle.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of... bread.
So this podcast is gonna be titled Booksmart and Chloe's High School Diet. And then I was always drinking regular Coke. That was before I got converted to the gospel of diet.
I actually did not drink a lot of soda until like late college, late undergrad.
Yeah.
And now I drink soda all the time, which is horrible and terrible, but yeah. Strange. Forgot that that was a part of my life where I was addiction free. But yeah, you had like a pretty average high school experience from things that I've heard from other people.
Mine was like, yeah, it was, you know, suburban. It's just like, it was so like classic suburban high school. Like it felt very like stereotypical in a lot of ways, like upper middle class. There were a few rich kids who were, like, very popular because they're wealthy and they had giant houses. But, like, no one was particularly poor. And so, like, I don't know. It was very, very classic American high school, I feel like.
Yeah. Mine was definitely not. I remember I had to be a part of a play. Like, had to be a part of a play because I was taking, like, a theater class. This is the only theater class I took in high school.
Yeah.
I got cast as like the main person and I immediately walked up to my teacher and I said, I refuse to do that. Put me on crew.
What play was it?
I don't know. They had us write it, which made it
a million times worse. Oh,
yeah.
No.
So like 2-3 people wrote it because they were like...
Yeah, you made the right call. You made the right call getting out of that.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm a massive homo. And of course, it was a romance.
Yeah.
There was like weird drama and pregnancy stuff. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And yeah, I like walked up to her immediately after my audition. And I was like,
yeah.
Do not. I will not do that. I am on crew.
Yeah.
And she was very confused. But then she was like, okay. And she put me on crew, and I got to paint stuff, which was fun.
That sounds like a pure upgrade to me, rather than acting in a student production, a high school student production of something that they wrote.
Yeah.
No offense. Like, you know, I know part of the theatrical process is, like, learning for playwrights and whatnot, but, like,
I not in high school.
Not in high school.
I feel like people should... ban theater from high school and then just let those theater people learn in college with older theater people.
No, but you need to separate out the theater people because theater people are weird in high school.
Oh my god, they're so weird.
no offense, like, I'm guessing, like, knowing that our like,
our friend group is like 80% theater people.
Yes. So just to be clear, like, I like theater.
Y'all are great when you grow up.
But like, high school theater people, oh my gosh, the drama that they would, like, pun not intended, just like the stuff that they would get into, and just like, it was like simultaneously everyone is hooking up with everyone and they all hate each other.
It was such a transfers to early college too, because I think I took a theater class pretty early in college as well, because it was like part of the, it wasn't a required class specifically, but it was like on the required list, one of the classes I could take.
Yeah.
And literally day one, this is the first day, right?
Yeah.
I came to class maybe a couple of minutes early. I'm sitting down. All of a sudden, this girl just like comes up to me and sits very closely. And the room is not filled up yet, right? So we're sitting in a circle, of course, because it's theater.
Yeah.
And they want to be in touch with each other. Zap
or something. Did you have to do that in theater? I always had to do that in theater classes. It play zip, zap,
sounds
zop.
Familiar. I have no idea what that is.
Okay.
But this woman just like sits down next to me, extremely close, turns to me, and immediately asks, like, do you know this person?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, who? Me? What? Do I know who? And I'm thinking of like, let's say she said like, do you know Jack? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jack, do I know it? Jack, no. And she was like, I think you do because you're friends with him on Facebook. And I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, that's my cousin. And she immediately went from like coming for my throat to super friendly, because apparently she went on a date with my cousin and saw that I was friends with him on Facebook and he didn't call her back. And that was my experience of the only theater class I've taken within the first, before the bell rang for the first class.
Yeah.
And I feel like that sums up theater.
Yeah. That. Okay. So book
now
smart.
That we've been on three tangents about our personal lives.
But I feel like that's the point of this movie, is that like,
yeah,
it makes you start thinking about your own high school experiences. But like, I guess any final thoughts about Booksmart?
It's a pretty fun movie. I watched it in theaters with a coworker. We had a great time. I did not understand a single thing that Ryan was saying because there were no subtitles in the movie theater. I'm sure it's part of the character and that the actress actually does know how to enunciate, but Ryan does not.
See, I was able to understand everything Ryan said because I have a friend who talks exactly like her. And so I was like, yes, I know how the, it's just that like stoner, very like, yeah, I'm just going to hang out here and we're going to do this. It's just so quick. It's just like every word kind of leads into the other and it's very lazy. It's great, though. I don't know why. I find that method of talking very soothing.
I like it. I just didn't understand what she was saying when I was in the theater.
Yes.
I liked every single character. I don't think there was any of them who like annoyed me or pissed me off, or even, like, bothered me. There was a lot of nuance with all the side characters, despite them not being on the screen that much. We have Nick, who's supposed to be this dumb dude, and he's actually going to Georgetown. He's vice president. He's, like, throwing a decent party and hanging out with everyone, and he accepts the nerds in, no problem. He actually does hang out with Molly for quite a while. Like, everyone is just hanging out and being all together, even though they have their own cliques. It's a great movie. I really liked it.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really good movie. I feel like I was a little critical of it, but like, I enjoyed it. I've apparently seen it twice because Val told me we were recording this, and I was like, oh, I've never seen that. And then I watched it. I was like, I've totally seen this.
Yeah, she texted me like an hour before recording, like, I think I watched this before.
Yeah. Obviously, like, I don't know why I didn't remember, because like the moment I started, I was like, oh yeah, this movie, and I like remembered everything about it. It's just like, I need to be prompted. It's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. I think that the queer elements in it are really well done as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's got that awkwardness. I like it when they explore the awkwardness of being queer, but not so much the homophobia. There's no homophobia in it. It's just, it's just about the awkwardness of being like a queer teenager. And it's nice to see that, because like so often it's about like, I don't know, it's just nice to see it presented that way.
Yeah. I mean, the first time they make, like, they talk about it, Ryan asks Amy, are you coming out? And yeah. Amy's like, I've been out for 2 years. And Ryan's yeah. like, no, to the party. And that, for some reason, just, like, really tickled my bone.
It was great.
Also, Theo hooked up with Mrs. Fine, and that was beautiful, too. I forgot about that for a moment.
Again, and she tries to flirt with him at graduation and accidentally flirts with
like some girl,
some random girl. Yeah,
she does like the roar, like that.
Yeah, the growl.
The growl. Oh my They're god, like, that was
the tiger growl. I can't.
Just
do
the
it.
Secondhand embarrassment from that scene.
Yeah, man,
it was so good. Oof. It was so good. It was like a dear God.
Yep. So watch this movie. It's very good. I think it did pretty well. It won some awards, and I think it did okay box office. But, like, still, they need to make more movies like this. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde did an excellent job. I think that's her debut, right?
Yeah, I think it was her directorial debut.
Which I feel like when this movie first came out, I was just finishing up or just finished up House. And she was an actor on that. So I was, like, a pretty big fan already because she did play a lesbian there.
I didn't know that. I've never watched House.
She's like in the later seasons. It's
okay.
By the time it gets pretty bad, but she did a great job. And yeah.
Okay, cool.
I really appreciated this movie of hers.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. So just wanted to mention our social media. We have Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. They're all at InMediaLez. We have a subreddit r/InMediaLez. Our website is InMediaLez.com. You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. If you have a question or comment, we'd be happy to feature it on the air if you're cool with that.
And tell us about your theater experience in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about your high school experiences, since you just got to hear about ours.
Unless you had a really good one, in which case definitely let us know, because I've never heard of like a purely good theater experience. It's always like, yes, I had an amazing time in theater. It was the worst, is usually how it goes.
Yeah. And thank you for rating, liking, subscribing, or anything you can do to help us out. And have a good one.
We'll see you in the next one.
And God bless you.